Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Senior pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and would like to invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible. Today's message is entitled, God Our Banner.
Exodus chapter 17, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. It says, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in his hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I can't wait to get to that because I got to talk about the Amalekites. But not the way as you suppose. Recount this in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner, for he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will war with Amalek from generation to generation. For a few moments this morning, amen, I want to talk from a subject, from a theme, God our banner. The Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi. Father, we thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart. Father, for these next few minutes, Lord, let me decrease that you might increase. You speak, Lord, speak through me. You know exactly what you want to say, God. You know how you want to say it. You know what you want to convey. You know what you want to drive home and the points of application. So speak, Lord, and speak loud and speak clear, Lord. God, we thank you for breaking up, oh God, the formulating of confusion. God, we thank you for breaking up the places of high places and spiritual wickedness in darkness and rulers of darkness. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. You're hastening to perform your word. You're causing your word to spring forth, God. You're causing what you said to come to pass. So we thank you for, Lord, this moment that we have to hear the rhema word. Make us attentive. Remove distractions. Don't let us be drawn away by that all it is to keep us from hearing what you're saying. Give us ears to hear. Give us a will to do. We don't want to just be hearers of your word or just parrots of your word. We can replicate what you said, but we can't apply it to our lives. Tinkling cymbals, making a whole lot of noise, but accomplishing no kingdom progression. So speak to us, Lord, in the manner that would please you the most. Say what you want to say, and then let us leave here doing your will. Let us leave here walking in your ways. Let us leave here knowing that you're soon to come, and we've got to work while it's day, because night is coming. And no man can work. For a few moments, God, let me represent you in a way that your people will know you are our banner. You are our flag. It is your principles that we are striving to achieve. Speak, Lord, and when everything has been said and done, we'll give you glory and praise and honor. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Edward, amen. Stay with me a moment. Man, you can be released. All right, all right. The Lord, our banner. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 13 through 16. It says, and Moses built an altar and he called its name, the Lord my banner. For he said, because the Lord have sworn, he could find no greater. One portion of scripture said, so he swore by his own name. The Lord has sworn the Lord would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So that indicates to us that when God starts talking about being our banner, he's got war on his mind. I'll say it again. Whenever God begins to talk to us about being our banner, come on, somebody say real loud with me, say he's got war on his mind. I know we like painting him as a lamb, and we love Michelangelo's picture of him meek and holy. But he's not just the Lamb of God. He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. the last thing I got, and PA, you still got me real loud and you got me real low. All right, lighten it up a little bit, then take it down a little bit. The last thing we really want to see is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Anybody ever seen what's that movie you love, Chronicles of Narnia? Has anybody ever seen that? What happens when the lion shows up? Have y'all paid attention? Everything changes when the lion shows up, right? So whenever God begins to talk to us about the being our banner, he's got war on his mind. And that's what we see in the book of Exodus. It is the going out or the redemption out of Egyptian bondage of God's people or the descendants of Abraham. And this going out or this redemption, it sets forth in types of what all the redemptions of God looks like. I wish I had a little bit more time. Normally when God's got to get us out of something, it's normally a violent period. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening? Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So I'm going to say that again. Normally when God is getting us out of something, it's normally a very violent period. He snatch us out of this. He snatch us out of that. He pushes them away from us. He pulls them to us. When God is our banner, he shows us what redemption really looks like. Mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. But God does not do all these things just to be doing something. He redeems us because he wants to bring us into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you're listening. He does not bring us out of all of that stuff to bring us into a lukewarm relationship. He brings us out so we can become madly in love with him. How in the world did God get us out of all of that and we get over here and be so lukewarm? Come on, tell your neighbor's neighbor, he done brought me out of too much. He done brought me out of too much. I don't know, maybe I'm just talking about myself. God done brought me out of too much for me to come over here and then be lukewarm. I've got to keep falling in love with him over and over and over. And when I do not love him enough, I got to say, God, all I want is you. In Exodus, God begins to show us what redemption looks like. But it's not just for the sake of redemption. It is for us to be drawn into a loving relationship in which worship and fellowship and services are an expression that we are one with God. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you been redeemed? Get a response. Well, if we've been redeemed, then the next step to that redemption ought to be a loving relationship with God. And in that loving relationship with God, then we ought to see worship. Then we ought to see praise. The praise and worship leader should never have to say, come on and praise the Lord. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'm going to say that again. And Natira, you don't have to stop saying it. But the praise and worship leader should never have to say, come on and praise the Lord to a redeemed people. You ain't saying nothing, but that don't make a difference. Ha! Those that have been redeemed and those that have been blood bought and those that have their sins forgiven and those that have been healed from all of their diseases should never have to be prompt to come on and praise the Lord. God redeems us so he can bring us into a loving relationship. And in the midst of that loving relationship, there is worship, there is fellowship, there is service of expressions that shows proof that we are one with God. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Now, we talk a good game, but when we start checking the evidence, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. We talk a good game. Oh, how I love thee. You're more than anything. I don't want anything to separate me from the love.
love of God. And then all it takes is 5 minutes and we separated. Skirts and hips. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Biceps and triceps. Little promotion. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm going to preach it here today. He redeemed us to bring us into a loving relationship. And then out of that loving relationship, we ought to have worship and fellowship and services that demonstrate that we are one with God. He has marked us. We're his and he's ours. He ain't let nothing separate us from the love of God. He brought us out of too much to go back now. Amen. I brought my amens with me. He done brought us through too much now for us to go back now. God. Amen. I brought him with me. He done delivered us from too much now for us to be half-hearted and double-minded and unstable and not sure who we living for. He done brought us through too much now for us to be ashamed to name the name of Christ. We ought to go to work and just walk in there. And because we know there are hellions in there, say hallelujah. We ought to go amongst those that are not saved. And we ought to be able to declare, amen, I don't care who's against us, are all of y'all saved? I didn't get that many amens there. We ought to go among unsaved folks, especially those of us that know what time it is. And our first question shouldn't be about the Cowboys, shouldn't be about the Ravens, and God, don't make me mad today. And it definitely shouldn't be about Donald or Hillary. It ought to be, are you saved? That ought to be our first question. And then if we want to get to that other stuff that don't really matter, we get to that later. Okay, I'll go ahead and put it on there. When was the last time you asked somebody, are they saved? I thought we wanted everybody to go to heaven. I thought we knew we had the way, the truth, and the light. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. When was the last time you asked somebody, are you saved? How can we be not ashamed to talk about the Redskins and the Cowboys and the Orioles? And we argue folks down now about Hillary and Donald right now. We argue them down. And that might be the person that God sent you to win to Jesus, and he ain't caring nothing about no Donald and Hillary. And you got distracted. Come on, somebody put your hand on your chest. Come on, come on, come on with me. I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you. I know I'm cutting you right now, but I'm going to heal you. Come on, put your hand on your chest. Say, this week, I'm going to ask somebody, are they saved? Come on, put a hallelujah behind that. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for. That's why he redeemed us. That's why he brought us out of that horrible pit. That we would be peculiar, that we would be holy, that we would be his priesthood. I'm in the Bible, 1 Peter 2:9. That we would be the ones that show the praises of them that have been brought out of darkness into the light. Call every one of your family members. This is the season to do it. Call every one of them. Ask them, are you in darkness or are you in light? I don't care nothing about what you and Aunt Sally are arguing about. I want to know, are you in darkness or are you in your light? Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you in the darkness or are you in the light? That's why God redeemed us. That we would be about good works, services of expression that show that we are one with him. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God of peace. He's the God of increase. He's the God of righteousness. He's a holy God. Those that he has made holy, he constantly cleanses us from our defilement through the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't need to be washed. I don't need to be redeemed again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank you for the blood that keep on washing me. God. So we come to the book of Exodus, and I'll try not to be, but as long as necessary. We come to the book of Exodus, and John Maxwell says there are a plethora of good information for leaders on the rise. He said, but the most important that he want to teach, that he believes, is that what God is doing through redemption and what God is doing through washing the blood and making leaders clean and calling leaders out, John Maxwell says he's trying to get leaders that can get that same rhythm of their heartbeat that God has in the earth. So God redeemed us. God cleanses us. God brings us into the house of the Lord. God brings us among the people of God. And then he chooses us out of that and he sets us up for leadership. And then he says, now, in order for you to lead, I need you to have my heartbeat. I need you to think like I think. I need you to want what I want. He said, because there's many devices in your own heart even after you get saved. I wish somebody would talk back to me. He said, now, even after you get saved, you still going to have a lot of stuff in your heart that ain't in my heart. You going to have a lot of stuff on your mind that ain't on my mind. You ain't got to say nothing. Your boy preaching here. He said, so I'm going to need you to keep getting close to me so I can change your heart and give you my heart so then you can be successful in the earth. Then you can be productive. See, because there's many devices in a man's heart, but it is only the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Question this morning is, right at this point is, now that we're redeemed, now that he's brought us out, now that he's selected us, are our hearts on the same beat with the rhythm of heaven? This is why Jesus would say stuff like, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What Jesus was saying is, I don't have no will. Even when I want a will, I know I got to go to Gethsemane for my will to even die again. He says, my will, my beat is what Christ wants. And sorry, America, you ain't got to say nothing, but your boy gonna preach this morning. I'm sorry, America, you've been doused in the Enlightenment philosophers that told you to make it about me, myself, and I. And we Americans, y'all ain't got to say nothing, but I'm preaching real well. Americans, we've been doused in, we gotta have it our way. And it works to a certain point, especially if you're in the kingdom. And when you're in the kingdom, it works until you get to Golgotha. And you say, Lord, if it be possible. Lord, I ain't been wanting to do this for years. I've been avoiding this. I got to do what? I got to die? I got to give you back what I desire to see if that's what you desire? I knew you wasn't going to say amen because, see, we in America, we say go after it and we say God said it until we fail. And then after we fail, then we start talking about, well, what had happened was. And if we would have backed up and said, God, I don't want my will. Oh, God, I don't want my way. God, I want what you have for me, God. I want to go in your way, which is the truth and the life. God, I want everything that you have for me. All right, God, let me sidebar 1 second. Is anybody besides me ever found out that when I give up what I want and I take what he wants, it's so much better? God, I'm glad 4 of you have figured it out. Well, the rest of 100 of you, keep on living. You're going to find out. I told y'all the story. I wanted a car so bad, and I said I was going to have it by 25. By 35, I was still trying to get rid of that thing because I got it on my own merit. I ain't pray. I just said I wanted it, and God let me get it. The worst thing you can do is let God get what you want that he never designated for you to have. God, I got to preach in this house. There's excellent lessons of leadership in the book of Exodus, says John Maxwell. In the book of Exodus, John Maxwell says God's teaching us to get the rhythm of God and let us beat, let our hearts beat at his rhythm. We are in such a pivotal moment that we shouldn't even, I'm talking about getting up and going to the grocery store now. You better know God sent you to the grocery store. Y'all ain't got to say nothing, but I'm preaching real well. You got to know that God told you to get on that job, stay on that job. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You got to know that God said, get in that marriage and stay in that marriage. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. You got to know that God gave you them children and didn't show you how to raise them children. This ain't the season for speculating, assuming. I wish I had more time. I'll take you to the numbers. Because one time God told them to go to the top of the mountain. They said, we don't want to go to the top of the mountain. God said, okay, don't go. Then God, when God says don't go, then they rise up and say, we want to go. And they are utterly destroyed because of assumption. To get his rhythm. Somebody throw your hands up real high. Say, God, give me your rhythm. Give me your rhythm. Give me your rhythm. Life becomes much easier when we get the rhythm of God. He becomes our banner. I promise you, I'm getting somewhere I'm trying to go. It's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. It is when the Lord is our banner.
You've just heard a message on Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to order the full-length message. We hope you are encouraged to live the victorious life. And remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.